From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. You know, God never intended for us to live in isolation. From the beginning, God offered a plan for community, not only between husband and wife, but through the fellowship of friends. The reason is simple. We need each other. Whether you're in need of companionship today, or you need to reach out to someone in need, we can all benefit from the biblical instruction on the importance of friendship. My message is titled, Living with Loneliness, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
We love to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Yet sometimes we fail to understand the parameters of God's grace. In his best-selling book, Grace Gone Wild, Dr. Robert Jeffress will help you gain a better grasp of what grace truly is. When you realize the scope of God's grace, it can radically transform your relationships, your marriage, and every area of your life. Request Grace Gone Wild and the personal and group study guide when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory.
But his life was void of true intimacy, true companionship. Without it, he said, life is meaningless. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 for just a moment, where Solomon talks about the futility of life without friends, without intimate relationships. He says in Ecclesiastes 4, beginning with verse 7, "Then I looked again at vanity under the sun." And then he tells a story about somebody he knew. There was a certain man without a dependent, having neither a son nor a brother, yet there was no end to all of his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches, and he never asked, "And for whom am I laboring and depriving myself of pleasure? This too is vanity. It is a grievous task." That realization of life without intimacy led him to these familiar verses that he begins in verse 9, in which he talks about the value of friendship, the value of companionship. Look at it with me. He says in verse 9, "For two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him, and a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart." Would you jot down on your outlines four benefits of friendship, of companionship? First of all, friendships offer us assistance in times of crisis. Assistance in times of crisis. A popular Swedish motto says, shared joy is a double joy. Shared sorrow is only half a sorrow. I think that's what Solomon had in mind here when he talked about the primary benefit of companionship. He says, "For in a friendship, if either one of them falls, the one will lift up his companion." Have you noticed in any relationship you're in, whether it's a marriage or a friendship, it's rare that both people in that relationship are down at the same time. Usually, one is up, the other is down, or the other is up, and the other one is down. If they're two down at the same time, they really can't help one another. I went to waste 2.5 hours on Memorial Day to see that new Indiana Jones movie. And, gosh, that was boring. But anyway, there was a scene in it. I said, well, here's one sermon illustration. I can get out of it. But there was a scene in it in which Indiana Jones and his companion were mired in quicksand, and they were going down at the same time. They were absolutely helpless to assist one another. It took somebody who was up on the outside to throw them a lifeline, in this case a snake, in order to help lift both of them up out of the pit. Well, that's exactly what Solomon is talking about. In a friendship, one can help the other one when one is up and the other one is down. You know, by the way, in a marriage or in a friendship, don't allow that incongruity in your feelings, your emotional state, be a source of irritation. You know, some people say, you know, to their friend or their mate, why are you so depressed? Why can't you be more like me? Or, you know, on the other hand, if they're sad and depressed, they say to somebody who's up, well, why are you so up? If you were more sensitive, you'd empathize with my feelings. Well, the fact is God has us in different states at different times so that we can be of assistance to one another. That's what a friend does. He provides assistance. If one falls down, the other will lift up his companion. Secondly, friendship offers us support when we feel alone. Well, that's what he's talking about in verse 11. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Now, that sounds a little kinky when you first read it, you know, but I don't think that's what Solomon had in mind here. I think what he's talking about really is those cold times that we experience in our life. As one writer said, there are certain cold times, chilling times we all experience when we feel alone. It might be a move to a new city or the beginning of a new job or the death of a loved one. And it's in those cold times of life that a friend offers us the warmth that we need. I think of the biblical story of Ruth and Naomi. Remember, Ruth had lost her husband, and her mother-in-law, Naomi, was also a widow. And Naomi encouraged her daughter-in-law to go back to her home country and to go back to her mother and to find a husband. But Ruth begged Naomi not to leave her. And in one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture, Ruth 1:16, Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God." And the rest of Ruth illustrates how that relationship between Ruth and Naomi provided the warmth they needed during a cold season of their lives. Number three, friendships offer us protection when we are under siege. Have you ever felt like the Apostle Paul when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 7:5, "Our flesh has no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts from without, fears from within." Paul was expressing a basic truth, and that is we are almost always under attack. Those attacks may come from other people. They may come from the life circumstances we encounter. They may occur from Satan himself, but we are under siege. The friendship value is that friendships offer us protection when we are under attack. That's what he's talking about in verse 12. If one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him, and a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. In other words, there is strength, there is protection that comes when you bind yourself to another person or to a group of people. You know, sometimes, for example, our friends can be advocates for us when we are being mistreated by others. I don't have to tell you, one of the occupational hazards of ministry is criticism. You make yourself a moving target when you get involved in any kind of ministry at all. And as I look back in my previous churches, I am so grateful for men and women who would stand up for me and be an advocate for me when I was being unfairly criticized. They can do that for you as well. They can protect us from unfair criticism. Other times, a close friend can help protect us when we're under siege from the enemy, from Satan himself. Sometimes a good friend can just give us a fresh perspective on what we're going through. A friend can say to us, "You know, as I look at what you are going through and experience in your life right now, it just seems to me that Satan is trying to hurt you. He's trying to discourage you. And I want you to know I'm going to pray for you during this time in your life." Sometimes friends will give us that perspective that we need. Do you have an individual, a group of individuals who can offer you protection when you're under attack from other people or circumstances or Satan himself? Number four, friendships, companionship offer us accountability when we are prone to wander. Accountability when we are prone to wander. I think every one of us here tonight, every one of us listening to this broadcast, can think of somebody we know who was once a strong believer and who fell into some kind of sin, perhaps sexual immorality, or fell into unorthodox beliefs, but they fell away from the faith. And many times the reason people wander away from the faith is they have no one to whom they are accountable. I think that was the tragedy of Solomon. Think about it. When Solomon was a teenager, 19 years of age, he gave his life completely to God. He was wholly devoted to the Lord. He wanted to please God with his whole heart. But over a period of years, money, sensual pleasure caused his heart to grow cold toward God. The Bible says in 1 Kings 11:4, "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away from to other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God." You see, the problem was being up here on the pedestal, on the throne, no one had the courage to tell Solomon the truth about himself. He had no one to hold him accountable. Do you have somebody that holds you accountable? You know, in every church I've served in, including this church, I've had a leadership council. And in this church, there's a group of about 13 or 14 leaders in this church with whom I meet once a month. And they are free to ask me any question they want to ask. They are free, able to challenge me on anything they want to challenge me. They can ask me any personal question they want to ask to hold me accountable as the pastor of this church. Do you have somebody like that or a group of people like that in your life? People who aren't afraid to tell you the truth about yourself? People who will hold you accountable when you are tempted to wander from the faith? That's one of the values of friendships. Now you say, "Robert, I'm convinced I need friendships. I want somebody to offer me assistance and protection and accountability and emotional support. But where do I go to get those kind of friends?" As I look at God's Word, I see that God has given us really three realms of relationships to satisfy the need that we all have for companionship. The first relationship, and perhaps the most foundational relationship, is marriage. Marriage. After God's crowning work of creating man, Genesis 2:18, God said, "It is not good for a man to be alone." Now, you know, that's a strange verse when you think about it. Adam wasn't alone. He had a wonderful relationship with God that had not yet been tainted by sin. He had a spiritual relationship because he was a spiritual being. But God said, "Adam, a relationship with me is not enough to satisfy your every need. You need a companion, a helpmate. It is not good for a man to be alone." And so God created Eve to satisfy that void in his life that even God himself couldn't satisfy. And by the way, that need for companionship in marriage wasn't just limited to Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2, verses 24 and 25, Moses gives this principle that applies to all of us. "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were naked and were not ashamed." God's plan for most human beings, unless he's given you the gift of celibacy, as teenagers say, the gift nobody wants. You know, unless God has given you the gift of celibacy, God's plan for you is that you have a mate to meet that most basic need for intimacy. But as important as marriage is, it is not sufficient in and of itself to satisfy our total need for companionship. And that's why there is a second realm for companionship, and that is friendships. Friendships. Marriage cannot satisfy your total need for companionship, and so God has also created friendships. And let me just mention real quickly four levels of friendship that are important to understand. First of all, there are acquaintances. I mean, these are the people you meet day in and day out, perhaps the teller at the bank window or perhaps the grocery store clerk. These are people you run into. You'll probably, in 1 year's time, make anywhere from 500 to 2,500 acquaintances. Most of those relationships are superficial. They will never go any deeper. Secondly, there are casual friends. These are people that you happen to know on a first-name basis. conversation with these people, whether it's at church or at work, involves superficial issues, the stock market, politics, sports games, children, and so forth. Some of these casual friendships may only last a few months. Some may span a lifetime. Thirdly, there are close friends. Depending upon your social network, your close friends can number anywhere from 5 to 25 people. These are people who are neighbors, who are church members, work associates. And usually these relationships are characterized by a mutual agreement on many of the basic issues of life. And then fourth, there are intimate friends. Usually, no one has more than 6 intimate friends in a lifetime. These are people with whom we can share our deepest feelings, the people with whom we can be most open. These are people usually that we want to first talk to in a time of crisis in our life. And although the nature of these friendships can change over time, usually they will endure a lifetime regardless of geographical location. These are people maybe you won't see for a few years, but as soon as you get back together with them, it's just like you're picking up where you left off. These are intimate friends. Now, you say, well, why do we need to know about that? Because an understanding of the different levels of friendship can protect you from one of the most dangerous enemies of friendship, and that is unrealistic expectations. When you expect a casual friend to behave like an intimate friend, you are doomed to disappointment. Understand that God puts all 4 of these levels into our lives for a reason. I like what the late Ted Engstrom, former president of World Vision, says about the different kind of friendships God desires for us. Ted said, every Christian needs a Barnabas to receive encouragement, a Timothy to guide as a protege, and an Epaphroditus to enjoy on a peer level. The third realm of friendships that God has provided for us are those relationships in the church. Relationships in the church. Now, friendships can involve Christians and non-Christians alike. But this third realm of relationships is particularly powerful, those that we find in the local church. And interestingly, in the local church, you have 4 levels of friendship: acquaintances, casual friends, close friends, intimate friends, and so forth. But there is a collective power that comes from the body of Christ in having all 4 of those levels in one place. One of the most important reasons that we assemble together on Sundays is not only to worship God, but also to connect to one another. Remember 1 Corinthians 12:27, for you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Now, I've got about 5 minutes here. Can I chase down a rabbit path for just a moment here about relationships in the church? You will never develop the kind of relationships God wants you to establish in the church, the kind that you need for your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being. You will never establish those sitting in a pew, staring at the backs of one another's heads, okay? It will never happen in a worship service. That's why Sunday school is so vital to your emotional and spiritual well-being. And if I were you and I were choosing a Sunday school class, I don't get to go to Sunday school because I'm preaching all 3 hours. But I'm going to tell you what, if I were looking for a Sunday school department, I would not go to a class where everybody just sat down and listened to a lecturer for 45 minutes. The last thing most people need on Sunday morning is a second sermon, okay? One's plenty, one's more than enough. If I were looking for a Sunday school department, I would look for one, yes, that had a good teacher, but one that encouraged personal relationships, where there was interaction, where there were small groups, where there were people who would pray for me and encourage me. And we've got a lot of those kind of classes in our church. We even have some large classes that are divided down into small groups that do take care of one another and establish those relationships. And if you're looking for that kind of Sunday school class, you come to the Welcome Center. We can help you find that kind of class, that kind of department. But we need the fellowship that comes from small groups in the church. You know, we preachers love to beat people over the head with Hebrews chapter 10:25, to try to guilt people into coming to church. Every preacher knows Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. But sometimes we make the mistake of not quoting the verse that comes before that, because the verse that comes before that tells us why we are not to forsake our assembling together in the body of Christ. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Have you ever watched a piece of wood in the fireplace? As the fire was roaring, a piece of wood, it glows red hot. But if you take that piece of wood and separate it from the fire, that red turns to a gray and then finally to a cold black when it's isolated from the fire. But take that piece of cold black wood and put it back into the center of the flame, and it ignites and starts to glow red hot again. You know, what's true of a fireplace is true of us as well. If you take a Christian and you separate him from other Christians, he will grow cool and cold toward his faith. But if you want to ignite another Christian, just put him in the center of a Spirit-filled, Bible-believing congregation, and he will glow red hot again for the Lord. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to faith and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, but encouraging one another all the more. Dr. Lewis Leakey and his wife, Mary, and their son, Richard, spent their entire lives studying the habits of chimpanzees. And at one point in their observation, they made the statement. They said, one chimpanzee is no chimpanzee. In other words, a chimp all by himself will never develop into the potential that he was intended to fulfill. He needs the companionship. He needs the company of other chimps to reach his full potential. One Christian is no Christian. God has created us in such a way that we need the spiritual, emotional fulfillment that comes from being associated with other believers. For we are Christ's body, and individually, we are members of it. And that's why one of the most important choices you can make for your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being is the choice of companionship, friendship, over loneliness.
None of us is wired to live in isolation. God designed us to thrive in community. Togetherness is God's cure for loneliness. In closing today, I want to share an encouraging note I received from Susan in California, who listens to Pathway to Victory on radio. Susan wrote, I listen to Pathway to Victory in my car and just cling to your programs. My 14-year-old granddaughter is going through a crisis, and your series on joy really touched me. Thank you for being on radio so that people like me who travel can listen. Well, thank you so much for that encouraging note. And friends, if you're among those who donate to Pathway to Victory, you're helping us reach Susan in her car, you and your family on television, and millions around the world. Thank you for stepping forward today to give generously so that together we can pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
The word grace has multiple uses for Christians. We say grace before a meal. We sing about it, thank God for it. But few Christians understand the depth and breadth of God's grace. And some are surprised to realize that in addition to its amazing status, grace has a dark side. Dr. Robert Jeffress explains in his best-selling book, Grace Gone Wild.
Sometimes Christians twist the meaning of grace into something it's not. In some cases, we even abuse grace. So how do we know the difference between good grace and the kind we manufacture to satisfy our selfish ways? In my book, Grace Gone Wild, I'll help you gain a better grasp of what God's grace truly is.
Learn how God's grace can protect every aspect of your life. Request your copy of Grace Gone Wild by Dr. Robert Jeffress when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. It comes with a brand new personal and group study guide, and when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete unedited Grace Gone Wild teaching series on both CD and DVD.
Many Christians have taken this amazing gift of grace and they've perverted it. They are robbing themselves of the joy that comes from obedience to God.
Your generous support of Pathway to Victory is reaching viewers around the world. Thank you for standing with us as we boldly declare the truth about God's amazing grace.
God never intended for us to live in isolation. From the beginning, He offered a plan for community, not only between husband and wife, but through the fellowship of friends. And whether you're in need of companionship today, or you need to reach out to someone in need, I hope you've benefited from this biblical instruction on the importance of friendship. No one is immune from discouragement. Even Christians feel unsettled at times. But what happens when you get stuck in despair and can't get out? Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of the best-selling book by Dr. Jeffress called Grace Gone Wild, along with a personal and group study guide. Plus, one free issue of Pathway Magazine is yours today, simply for contacting us at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete Grace Gone Wild teaching series on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
In fact, more people suffer from depression than all the other psychological disorders combined. By one estimate, more than 25 million people are suffering from depression today.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, Dealing with Depression, here on Pathway to Victory.